Today, it's Edwin's Monday evening property rant, the lockdown edition. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World's Latest Post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today I'm joined again by Edwin Amida. Hi Edwin.
G'day Martin, how are you going?
Yeah, good, good. I'm locked down.
You're locked down, we're all locked down. And how long have we been talking about ongoing issues with this pandemics and how, you know, it's going to be interesting how it all unfolds. Property wise, economically wise, none's the wiser, Martin. None's the wiser.
Well, it's pretty much in line with what we suggested, that there would be more outbreaks. It's interesting that in the UK they've got an uptick in outbreaks there, despite the fact that a large proportion of the population have been vaccinated, although the death counts are still very low, which is sort of positive. But it does show that this ain't straightforward. And as we've said on several previous shows, the economic fallout and the property fallout could be quite significant.
Very true, for sure. The apartment market's obviously going to be one to keep a very close eye on. It's interesting that in one of the articles that we're going to unpack today is going to be with regards to locking a whole complex down in Sydney. So, but the good thing is, Martin, that those tenants and occupants of that block avoided being welded shut like they do over in China.
Oh, well, it could be quite interesting. And it's interesting also, did you notice the FIRB report? You've got your cats back again. That's
they can't get enough of the show, Martin. They watch it every day religiously. Well, so they want to be a part of history.
Yeah, well, absolutely. No, it's good to see. You know, the more the merrier. I'm not fussy. But look, it's interesting. The FIRB published their annual report today. That's the Foreign Investment Review Board. One of the interesting things that came out from that was the fall in activity from China, which is precisely what you've been talking about for the last few months.
That's right, and it's going to be a thing to watch. Moving forward with a lot of the supply chain issues that we've got, the material issues that we're going to that's going to be ongoing, all the issues with your materials for construction. There's a lot of questions, a lot of builders are juggling balls and juggling a number of things, and I'm juggling two cats at the moment.
one's clearly behind the camera. Oh, here they go. One was clearly behind the camera, so we got a bit of an interesting camera shake there, which I thought that could be fun. Now, what's this about X marks the spot?
Well, I've just been told that I am now a part of the X family, Martin. We've got Malcolm X, Triple X. The hero Triple X, then we've got 4X, 4XV, and now I'm supposed to be known as no longer can call myself a Latina, but I've got to call myself Latinx. It's because the Latin language, or the Spanish particularly, is very very gendered, as you know, and so therefore, in order to be politically correct, I've now Latinx, so call me Edwin X.
Okay, Saint X.
Saint X, there you go.
Very good. Well, that's amazing. Some would say that's gone a little too far.
But look, I just want to let the viewers know that I am going to the border. I haven't been to Europe, but I will be getting to the border very soon.
Very good. Okay. And did we get any responses from our viewer submissions with regard to last week's request for star real estate agent photos?
Look, yeah, we asked for them. I think we got a couple, but let's wait. Maybe, I don't know if you want to publish the ones that we got. I only saw a couple that you and I have shared. Maybe there'll be some more next week. We can keep on publishing those. Yeah, the real estate agent mugshots that only a mother could love.
I think we should let's run it for a bit longer, because at the moment, the one that's in the lead is from New Zealand.
Well, yeah, there's that's going to be a very, very interesting one. And come on, guys, get those mugshots out to us. And no matter what part of the world you're in, let's get some more and let's see what our viewers have to share with us.
Yeah, and that'll give you a bit more time to put your DA in for your chook shed.
Look, Martin, I put it out there. I was very keen on fixing that chook shed, and getting a few getting things going there and getting some fresh eggs and range free eggs. But when I put that up on Twitter, a lot of our Twitterers and our Kryptonite followers there, they gave me a great idea, and I'm really planning and possibly submitting a DA proposal for a high rise development.
Well, you could have a high-rise development with a chook shed on the top floor.
That could be the penthouse.
We'll be the hen house, if not the penthouse, right?
That's right. Look, anything goes at the moment. With this pandemic, the councils, with the New South Wales government, local governments, DA approvals, and now we've got one of the stories that we're going to be unpacking is, if agents don't watch what they're doing, they're going to be issued with AVOs, Martin.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's pretty scary stuff. Just before we get into that, it's just worth highlighting, of course, that we responded to your tweet about the chook house or the carrots, and I'm sure you noticed a number of very helpful suggestions from people about how to actually propagate carrots.
Oh, look, there were some very, very interesting. I've been watching a lot of YouTube shows, Martin, and I'll definitely start building that those garden beds. It's just going to take a bit of time, and whilst these two ferrets, Dusty and Evan, giving me a little bit of grief, I have to attend to them, going through that phase of being de-sexed, the character's changed a little bit. But, look, I'm looking forward to really getting into those veggie gardens, and we might document a few as we go on.
Well, I should look forward to seeing the prize carrots at the end of the process, right? So, I'm sure they will be exhibit size and shape. But let's talk about AVOs, right? Because this is actually quite serious, right? That real estate agents are effectively overexerting themselves.
Look, it's nothing new. Obviously, there's nothing new that that the legislation that we come under captures, and we are governed by a lot of privacy laws, a lot of privacy mandates that we have to follow and adhere to. But the interesting thing with regards to the article is the fact that some agents can be very bombastic and can be very pushy and very much in your face in order to get that listing, and so they get taught to chase listings, particularly in this market, Martin, where we've seen record low numbers, even lower than what we saw, listing numbers than what we were seeing last year whilst we were in full lockdown for a number of months. Now last week was the least amount of homes for sale that I've seen in the Sydney region on the Domain platform. So when this pressure is on listing agents or selling agents, well, they've got to try everything every which way in order to get that listing. And it's not only one, but people are confronted by many agents. There's something like 76 real estate agencies in Parramatta, 43 or so in Blacktown LGA, just the Blacktown CBD, and obviously the LGA encompassing a lot more suburbs with a lot more agencies around there. So when you start thinking the fact that there's 8,500 offices, or as I've been saying for many years, there's approximately 17,000 selling agents, and most of them are based in the Sydney region. Well, you can imagine how hard they have to push to get that listing, and how much in your face they're going to be. So obviously this lady from Tamarama had enough of this agent and said, cease or we will issue you with an AVO.
Yeah, absolutely. I have got this vision, I don't know whether you've seen it, but the idea of throwing in a piece of fish food into a pond full of quite aggressive fish, right? And watching them all fight each other to try and get the food. That feeding frenzy is what I'm seeing. Every time there's a lead, right, in the real estate sector, you've got this huge sort of, you know, knee-jerk reaction from a lot of different agents all trying to track it down.
Yeah, look, there are actually a number of websites that specialize in just creating leads or lead generating for listings for real estate agents. And a lot of agents subscribe to these websites. So, and that's what I'm saying. So it's not only one, but it's two or three or five or even 10 agents that will frequent your home, that will door knock your property and will be very much in your face. Obviously, as I said, there are a lot of privacy laws that we are governed by, and there are a lot of privacy issues that we have to adhere to and regulations that we have to adhere to. And there's only certain times that we can approach. More so now, obviously, with these restrictions, there's a lot less that agents can do. But then, you know, you not only have to think about the physical approaches, but also the online approaches, the text messaging, and the only God knows where our phone numbers are being directed to or being sold to, to which databases. You've spoken a lot about the issues around privacy and the issues around the all these scammers that have now all of a sudden surfaced with, you know, so basically our phone numbers are out there, our email addresses are out there. There's so many social media platforms that we get on, and obviously they're all sharing our private information. So we've got to be really careful as real estate agents as how we approach and do things. And this article, I would say, is basically the, you know, somebody's really had enough, and it could start to set a new precedent or all over again from what we used to see in the early 2000s.
Very interesting. Well, I can tell you a bit of a personal story here, because I bought here where I'm living at the moment some years ago from a local agent, via a local agent. And every 3 months or so, they still call me saying, do you want a listing? You know, do you want to put it on the market? I mean, you know, I keep saying, no, we're staying here. But they still phone me. It's like the diary card comes out and they pick up the phone.
Look, as I said, there are many ways that agents and agencies get a hold of our numbers, obviously frequenting open homes. We just hand over our details, and look, and rightly so, agents also need our details in order when we go to open homes for issues around because an open house becomes a workplace environment. So there are a lot of other legal issues with that. And if you don't provide your details, well, you're not really going to, you can be negated entry into a property to inspect. So there's all these things, but it's really, the tenure is, I'd say, is more because right now, because of the fact that the agents don't have a lot of work. And look at now with these lockdowns, how many small businesses, how many SMEs are now facing further potential of, or greater potential of being shut down, Martin? I just went to JB Hi-Fi to pick up a new computer, and it was in a Westfields, and it was empty. And the poor bastards that are attending to the to some of the coffee shops that were there, you know, waiting for passing traffic, they still got to pay their rent, and rents in Westfields aren't cheap. So yeah, it's just an eyesore. I felt sorry for the guy, not but for the reason I just want to go in there, pick up the new computer and get out. Yeah, I would have actually sat there, because you couldn't sit there anymore. You can only take takeaway. I was almost tempted to order a coffee and a small snack, but it was just one of those things. Just want to get in and out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting, Alan Kohler published a really interesting article in the New Daily today, and he made the point about the fact that the current government approach seems to be to help the big end of town, you know, the 66 or thereabouts top biggest companies in Australia, but actually help for small businesses, which really need it now because of the most recent lockdowns, is almost nobody be seen. And I think he makes a really, really good point, because essentially, you know, I see it in my surveys, a lot of small businesses have been really under the hammer for a long time. And, you know, they sort of think they're climbing out of the hole, and then there's another lockdown. And whether you're in the you know, the food and drink sector, or whether you're actually in the tourism sector, they are really, really under pressure now. So I don't know whether the government will come up with anything, but they should certainly, and it should not be aimed at the top end of town.
Look, exactly, and this is the whole thing with what we've been talking about as to the what the effect that these pandemics have created, and that is that the bigger corporations, the big, you know, the big players are taking over the small, the small businesses. They're just swallowing them up because the small businesses can't afford to tap into the principal place of residence for the equity that they built over the last 6 months of this craziness. You know, real estate agencies, as much as people would like to think that they're making a lot of coin, some are, but most aren't. And this is what a lot of people need to understand. If you don't have a rent roll, you're really not doing very well. And if you look at what's, you know, in some areas, you'll get the feel that you know, for example, in Barton Ridge, there's 26 selling agents there in Barton Ridge, in Illawong and Barton Ridge, but there's only 39 listings on the market there, 39 properties listed for sale, 26 agents, but only two agencies there, Century 21 and Ray White, are the ones that dominate most of them. So, and within, you know, within these offices is where they've got to be share those revenues as well. So this is what I keep on saying over and over again. As much as it seems or appears that the property market, yeah, may be going well, but the real estate industry itself isn't as healthy as what a lot of people would like to think. Now, we've shared many times how a number of agencies that I'm aware of and I've been informed about are and continue to tap into the principal place of residence, the equity in their homes, in order to keep the businesses going. So extrapolate that across all the other sectors that you've just spoken about, Martin, and you start to get an idea of how much pain the SMEs are going through in Sydney, particularly in other cities around Australia, because they are reliant on that tourism dollar. They are reliant on that hospitality, you know, the people going out for dinners and so forth. And this is the ongoing opening and shutting. It's just not giving people a lot of confidence. But I think the fact that that there isn't a large number of homes on the market for sale will also tell you that people aren't confident to sell their homes because they want to stay put, because they don't want to. Where else can they go? Other than the high-rise developments or the strata complexes.
Mm, absolutely. Well, it's interesting. You know, there were 22 new visa classes just published, right? Getting migrants to come in on special visas. Interesting. Real estate agents weren't on the list.
No, I was flabbergasted by that, Martin. I was absolutely flabbergasted. But we do have out of the 22. Added to the criteria of priority migration skilled occupation list are accountants. That tells me that we don't know how to count very well, Martin. So there's three different types of accountants that are being added to the list, and multimedia specialists. Facebook Australia and Google Australia and YouTube Australia and TikTok Australia are going to, you know, they need more employees, Martin. And of all people, chefs. We don't know how to cook and we don't have enough cooks in the country, Martin. So they're the three that caught my attention, caught my eye.
Well, I was wondering, to put them together, we don't know how to cook the books, right? And we don't know how to make a presentation about it.
Well, therefore, yeah, the number 23 and number 24, 23 should have been real estate agents then, and number 24 should have been politicians, professional politicians.
Absolutely, yes. I think we need more politicians in this country. We haven't got enough. They're, you know, the most effective and efficient sector of our community, and they do all the right things for all of us. So we need more of them. That's clearly, you know, the problem. That's where we've gone wrong, I think. In fact, what we should do is we should double the number of seats in Parliament, and that would actually solve all our economic problems and take the economy into a much better place, wouldn't
Look, definitely. And then there'll be more money to go around to buy the faltering and apartment complexes. But yeah, it's interesting though that of this push, the push that, and the reason, yeah, why I wanted to raise this in today's podcast, today's rant, is because the government's getting very, very trigger happy to pull the trigger on, getting an itchy finger to pull that trigger and open up the international borders and creating, a greater pool of people that are seen to be priority, migrants in order to, skilled migrants to come into the country in order to absorb the, all these apartment complexes that they're also pushing the cohorts in the building industry to build in the high-rise developments and to get involved with these build-to-rent complexes.
Well, it's interesting. The intergenerational report also came out today. That's the one looking down from the next 40 years. And there are a couple of really interesting headlines. The first is that total population is now estimated to be in 40 years' time 58 million rather than more than 60 million. So that's a reduction, right? The participation rate is expected to drop. In other words, we're going to have more old people not working relative to the working population, right? And they're also forecasting, guess what, a significant rise in migration to try and actually address that. But it's also worth noting that the total debt is going to go on. So the government will be in debt for the whole of the next 40 years, and they're forecasting that interest rates are going to go up, so they're going to be paying more interest. So, you know, this isn't a very good recipe for a really potent and effective economy into the next 40 years. But migration absolutely is a cornerstone of the growth of the population. And think of the implications of that, right? As you say, there's going to be short term to try and fill some of those high-rise vacant apartments, of which there are many. And also in the medium term, if we are going to get more migrants coming in, that's just going to put more pressure on infrastructure and roads and those sorts of things. It's a nutty scenario. And yet the underlying economic directory that we have isn't very strong. And by the way, they're also making some rather positive assumptions about the future of coal and the future of iron ore, which of course may go off the agenda if more countries go for net zero sooner.
Yeah, look, it's really, again, it's what we've been saying, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's really offer as much as you can to, because it's a short-term tenure for the governments in power, and then offer just before the you call an election, offer the general public something that's going to make them happy. And property at the moment seems to be the flavor of the election ballot paper. Offer the people growth. Offer the people an upsurge in prices. And maintain that status quo with the building industry and the construction industry and just continue to build ad hoc. It's very convoluted, very hard to see where things are going. But again, with all these left field scenarios that are happening and that are occurring. Which way are we going to go? Are we just going to go the way of Singapore and just say, you know what, bugger it, let's just open up the borders and just go for herd immunity and let's just learn to live with this? When you've got a lot of disinformation and a lot of misinformation as well, we don't know where things are at. And this is where I say to a lot of our clients, is make sure that you're buying within your means and don't buy the premium. Buy with an upside. Look at how you can add value to the property, how you can what the potential risks and to mitigate the any potential loss when and if the economy starts heading south and property prices start heading south faster than what we could you could cope with. So you've got to sit in the right place from the beginning. You make money when you buy, not when you sell. Is one of the one of the many things that we talk about when we're looking out for properties for clients.
Yeah, that's right. And it's interesting. There was a rather naughty Twitter, which I won't put up because I'm not sure how legitimate it actually is. But somebody had gone through and looked at the politicians who owned property and compared the value of their property then and now, and highlighted the significant increases in property values that many politicians are currently sitting on. And they suggested that that might explain why it is that property is so much flavour of the month with the politicians. And also, somebody asked me the other day saying, well, you know, last year you were talking about, you know, the banks might be under pressure. Why haven't they fallen under pressure? And I put up this little formula, which was JobKeeper plus JobSeeker plus TFF plus low interest rates, plus home builder, et cetera, first time buyer grants, okay? All of those equals bank keeper, right? So basically, we've got politicians benefiting from high home prices, and you've got the banks benefiting from high home prices. You don't need to look further than that to understand why we've got what we've got.
That's absolutely right. And in as we say, you and I say, it's politicians in general. It's of all makes and sizes. It's not one party. It's all parties, because that's just the way things are. And look, let's be very transparent. I mean, this is something that's been taught to us. That's been taught to the next generation, and will continue to be taught, is that the way to get ahead in Australia is by either owning a small business or getting involved with property and leveraging off property. And so other than that, what else is there, Martin?
Well, actually, with the current environments, small businesses are under the gun. So basically, it's own property or own more property. It's the only growth game in town, isn't it? So don't go near crypto.
Hey, look, El Salvador's doing really well, Martin. it's just a learning curve. As I keep on saying, you've got to have faith and you've got to have hope. That's what I'm learning from the Kryptonians. There's a bunch of people that have got a lot of faith and hope. So.
Absolutely.
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, no, hang in there. Absolutely. Exactly right. Now, interestingly, talking about hanging in, there are some people now who have to hang in because they can't get out.
They can't. Well, look, the good thing is about the Elan apartments in that got locked down is, you know, those measures have been eased. But that is the interesting thing. How, the thoughts now of moving forward, all these what ifs that you and I have been talking about, Martin, for how long now? How long will it take for people to be in the right frame of mind, or to have that change the mind once again and be consider living in a high rise jail? I mean, some developments are bad enough as they are without the pandemics and with the building issues and the bad mechanical ventilation, and there's no cross-flow ventilation and everything else along with these high-rise that we've been building around Sydney and the water tables, and you name it, we've got all those issues, let alone to throw in new strains of the COVID and locking entire complexes down. I mean, is this the future? And if this is the future, I can only but see that a lot of the commercial CBDs, your Chatswoods, your Hurstvilles, your city, all these are just going to become the million dollar ghettos, because as people move out and move further afield, who's gonna have the balls to go and rent there or buy to live in there permanently?
No, it's interesting. I mean, the Miami situation is quite an interesting mirror to hold up, right? And look at what's happened there. There's a 41-year-old high rise with a huge gash in the front, and many people still missing, right? And then when you actually look closely, there were reports of structural defects somewhat similar. They were talking about damp penetration and the fact that was actually creating significant structural issues. Now, we don't know the full story of that, but it's interesting that a few people are drawing long bows between the Miami story, where, of course, when it was built, the building standards were rather weaker than they currently are, with what we've been doing in Australia for the last 20 years. And I think you and I would both say we hope that nothing like that ever happens in Australia. But I do fear that we may have laid the foundations, or lack of foundations, and we might see some of these down the track.
Well, and this is where you know I start getting angry with a lot of the regulators and the way things are being allowed to go on. Some of the reports that I've read is that building had a report done in 2018. But it wasn't attended to. There'll be a lot more that'll be published in days to come, in weeks to come. So far, my understanding is that 9 or 12 people have deceased, and they're still looking for another 110. Another 110 are still missing. God forbid that nothing like that happens here in Sydney with the issues that our high-rise developments have. But I have seen some atrocities out there, and as I've shared in our podcast, there is one particular building in Burwood where as you walk down to the third basement, you almost start the hairs in the back of your head start lifting because of what you see, and you sort of think, shit, I hope nothing happens whilst I'm down here. And that's how bad it is. But the authorities, the powers to be, don't tell us where these buildings that have issues. And predominantly the 240 buildings in Sydney that have flammable cladding. I mean, what about those? Why isn't the public informed? Are they waiting for a catastrophe of like or even greater to happen before they start letting us know where these dodgy buildings are and why people aren't being perhaps warned or being or the owners' corporations being forced to get these things rectified so that they can be habitable? I mean, this is crazy stuff that's going on. They like these property prices to go up, but we don't seem to have the same attitude in liking to have the dwellings and properties being fixed up for tenancy. Predominantly, it's tenants that live in a lot of these high rises.
Yeah, well, I think there should be a central register which should be publicly accessible, and that register should highlight the structural defects in all of the buildings that we know have defects, and it should also list the builder, right? Because it seems to me that we have builders who get away with blue murder, literally or metaphorically, because it's just not fair on those purchasers, be they for investing or be there to live in themselves, because they're the ones being just handed the damp end of the stick when things go wrong. It's not right. And yet I think that the industry is being protected by the politicians. And, there needs to be a stronger regulatory flavour, but also, I think, better disclosure. So for me, a register is a really good way to go. That's what I would be pushing for. I know people wouldn't like it, because if your property's on the register, you're going to lose a lot of money. But I would have thought that's the only way to really flush this out and get this thing fixed up.
Look, you're on the money there, Martin. But again, I'll say, at the end of the day, it's also part of it. It's also we've got to do our own due diligence. We've got to. It is caveat emptor. I get that. I understand that. But we've just got to approach property with a lot of questions, and not rely on what's putting in front of us by way of the selling agent or the vendor. Or a simple strata report that mainly looks at the financials of the building, or if something may just happen in the last few years. You've got to look at the historical records of these high-rise developments. Likewise, when you're looking at homes, you've got to understand and have an understanding or get informed as to the periods and how these freestanding homes were built and what materials that were used and potentially. And look, there's one of the good things over the years is there was a time where if we wanted to get materials tested for asbestos, it would cost close to $400. But now you can get those the same tests done for just under $100 or $110, $120, and there are a number of facilities that would accommodate for that. So we can't even say that, oh, it's too cost prohibitive. But then, how much do you value your health? How much do you value your future issues costs when you come to do a kitchen renovation or a bathroom or a laundry renovation, where most of these, the fibre that contains asbestos lays in the older homes. So all these things, we need to be more proactive and not just rely on selling agents. That is the fundamental thing that's happened over the last 15 years, where I've been saying that the industry has gone backwards, perhaps a little bit longer. It's absolutely gone backwards, and that's because the industry groups, the so-called leaders in the industry groups, and unfortunately the regulator took the finger off the pulse in the early 2000s.
Well, it looks as though everyone has just departed. I suspect the cat might have pulled the plug out of the computer or something.
Yes.
Is that right? The cat pulled the plug out.
Everyone was playing. I don't know if you saw the movement in the.
We heard the noises off, which were getting quite quite noisy, right? And then suddenly you stopped. So
they just want attention. What are you there? Yeah, so that's what happened, Martin. The powers that be just dropped the ball, and we accommodated all sorts of for all sorts of shenanigans from 2013 onwards, and we are where we are. But now we need to refocus, and I think the best way to refocus is get yourself educated and just ask the questions. There's no other way. We can't wait for the government to refocus. We can't wait for selling agents to refocus and be more transparent. We just got to do it ourselves.
No, I think that's right. And in fact, the way I would think about it is that rather than assuming that the property is perfect until you're told otherwise, right, what you should do is assume that the property has issues, right, and basically go at it that way and basically tick them off when you've actually asked questions about, cracks, asked questions about, water leakage, those sorts of things. In other words, assume it's bad until it's proved otherwise. That mindset shift could save you a lot of money and risk.
Oh, no, it could. It will save you a lot of money and risk in the future. Then you're buying more proactively, and you're not buying a lemon that's going to cost you in the future, and you're going to be able to mitigate any losses if and when the market turns, or if the economy goes pear-shaped.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, before we go, there's just one last little thing to touch on, which is quite interesting, right? So some property managers have been asking some interesting and different questions about tenants, haven't they?
Look, this is very concerning, Martin. It's very concerning because obviously when you take applications for tenancies, we're not meant to discriminate. We say property managers say that ain't publicly discriminate, but it's the unwritten rules that office rules that that many adhere to, and unfortunately there's still a lot of discrimination going on. But this was concerning. Talking to a leading property manager in a major franchise group, I was flabbergasted to hear that they are discriminating, and I can't put it in a different way, but they are discriminating with regards to the positions or the professions that the tenants have when they apply, and also with regardless of the fact whether or not they certain professionals may be shaky. They may have had they may not have paid the rent, but there will be preference over people that get caught when these lockdowns happen, like such as the hospitality industry, your baristas, your restaurant professionals, anybody involved in the hospitality industry, and any other industry that basically has to shut down when these lockdowns are on. Why has it become more apparent and more important now? Is because there is no ongoing stimulus now. The JobKeeper, JobSeeker, all these extra money that the government was throwing at these issues, and the moratoriums that were also in place are no longer there. So this has become more apparent. So look, can I say if you are making an application for a tenancy, if you're one of our viewers, think carefully as to what you say to the agent as they go through the selection process, it's shameful, it's sad that the industry is going this way, but then the other side of that coin is you've got owners on the you've got investors, property investors, property owners on the other side of the coin that may be their only form of income other than a pension it's really, again, some things that the government has dropped the ball on, but allowing the industry to create these unwritten rules and prerequisites is not going the right way about it.
No, absolutely. But of course, the answer is, Edwin, to say you're an accountant or a multimedia specialist or a chef, because we're sure of those.
I am a barista. I'm a waiter, but I am pursuing a political career.
That should be more than enough to get you in. Edwin, as always, some very important messages there amidst the humour and amidst the cattery.
The shenanigans that goes on.
It's all good, isn't it? But anyway, look, hang loose, keep battling away in the lockdown, and we'll do the same again next week.
Look, definitely. And guys, stay safe, stay healthy, just be wise. And my final tip for this week, Martin, is I think this is a great opportunity to make offers before auctions, because agents are going to be somewhat desperate to get deals across the line.
Hey, wow, that's a really interesting point. So actually, before we just sort of sign off completely, what you're saying is, given the fact that they're going to be struggling to get people through houses and things and run auctions, right, they might well be more amenable to taking an offer beforehand and trying to close a deal.
Oh, look, they are. I can tell you now that we've been successful so far. One out of two. We're hoping to get the second one across the line the auction's 3 weeks away. But we're hoping to get things line up a few more ducks and get it in at a great price, because vendors are obviously cautious and conscious of the fact that they're not getting the numbers through. Agents are desperately seeking to get that commission. So now I feel it's a great time to strike.
Great parting advice there. We told you it was a lockdown special, and those of you who hung through to the end, you got the pearl. So thanks, Edwin. We'll see you next time.
All the best.
Cheers.